Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, don't you mean Boston Film Festival winner Sarah Ferguson, even though I've never submitted a film before in my life? Give me the props.
Okay, I expect half of that money, though, right? Because I totally helped you with everything, even though I probably did nothing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You get $1,250 just for rolling your eyes behind the camera. And
yeah, I was going to say just for complaining the entire time.
Yeah, making snarky remarks against the lead actress, refusing to kiss the swamp monster. Like, you totally deserve half the money. For probably causing more harm than good. Yes. Towards my movie.
Honestly, I don't think Joey did anything helpful, most likely.
Anything?
Are you at least happy that we are hearing more about Dawson's film after
I'm actually really, really pissed off about this whole situation, to be honest with you. Because we fully were like, okay, it's like a plot hole. We're never going to hear about this again. We never saw the movie get finished. We never saw the movie in its final form. We never heard that he submitted to the film festival. All we get is a letter in the mail saying, "Hi, Dawson Leary, the best filmmaker of all time. Here's a check for $2,500. You win the best short film for the junior division." What bullshit? He didn't even finish the movie.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's funny that, like, all of a sudden we now know it's like, oh, he had this movie and then he gets obsessed with Joey for like a season. And then all of a sudden we're back on the movie thing again. And it's just like, he can only have one interest at a time on the show.
Sounds like a typical man, actually.
Yes.
So to be honest with you, don't want to be rude to our beautiful male audience. But
if the shoe
the
fits.
Male species has typically a one track mind.
Yeah, movies and women, and that's it. How was your week? We're recording on a Friday this week, a little bit different for us. But I feel like we've talked like every single day. I don't know. Maybe we haven't. I feel like I've recorded podcasts every single day though.
We talked a lot. I don't know how my week was fine. Like, nothing noteworthy. We did talk about meeting each other in person for the first time on our Boy Meets World podcast. But, like, a abbreviated version is that, you know, Jessica and I were fast friends about, like, almost 11 months ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, 11 months ago. Today is our 11-month friendiversary. Actually, like Dawson, I count months for anniversaries. So we met in person. You know, if it wasn't for the pandemic, we would have met right away. Yeah. But nonetheless, it was great. If you want to hear the full story, we talk a lot about it.
Yeah, it's in the beginning of the Last Boy Meets World
beginning podcast. Of our podcast. So that was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, like, I mean, we had a really busy week. We did our regular, like, Boy Meets World podcast. But then we did a special bonus podcast for the Friends reunion, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. So busy. And then my, you know, real world job, mm-hmm. my 9 to 5. So it's been a pretty busy week.
Yes. Yeah,
how about you, Jess?
Yeah, it's been a busy one for me. I think I've recorded a podcast every single day this week, maybe.
You did.
Possible.
You did. You're a busy bee.
I know. I can't keep track anymore. But no, it's been a great week. I'm excited because it's a long weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend here. In the United States, and I have tomorrow, my best friend who I have not seen. I've seen her like for my wedding, and I saw her for like briefly outside one time, but I have not seen her otherwise. And she's coming over, and we're like pretty much just playing board games like literally all day. And I'm
back like the olden days.
Back in the olden days. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be a really good time. So that'll be nice. And then more of like relaxing this weekend, which is always fun.
Are you going to break it to her that you've been talking to other best friends?
She does know about you. She doesn't know like the whole thing because that is really like a conversation that you have when you sit and chat for like 2 hours. And we haven't sat and chat for 2 hours. So,
my friends already know. They already got jealous. Now I think they're over it. But at first it was like I had to like sit them down and be like, guys, like I have news for you. Yeah. Like I have like at that time it was like a potential new BFF. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
who is this bitch?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who is
she? She's not blonde. It's not okay.
It is a very common thing or like a, you know, common knowledge that the majority of my friends are blonde, mm-hmm. but except Michelle. Michelle's not blonde, but a mm-hmm. lot of my friends are blonde. That is true because I got backstabbed by brunettes, but that's like a different story for a different day. It's not my choice. I lost all my brunette friends, oh my but whatever.
We're gearing up for the weekend here. We are talking about Dawson's Creek season 2 episode 8, The Reluctant Hero. It's fine. Like it's fine. Like we'll get into it. I think that coming on the heels of the last few episodes being pretty decent, like this one was a bit like we kind of mentioned this before we started recording, like it was like I rewatched it today and I definitely needed to because I didn't remember anything particularly there's like one thing that I think stands out and the rest of it is kind of a little bit meh. Maybe it's one of those episodes that's like kind of you need it to get the ball moving in the right direction. You know what I mean? It's like a plot setup type of episode, but I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I felt that this episode was a little meh as well. I even fell asleep in my first watch during it, which doesn't really happen for me.
Yeah.
With Dawson's Creek, I'm typically very like, I love this show. Like, I mm-hmm. like love what's going on. It was fine. It was a fine episode. So, I mean, I feel as though I don't even know where we should start. Maybe just like Dawson and Joey or something?
Yeah, so let me read out the pairs to you.
Okay, fine.
We have fine. Dawson and Pacey. Dawson, I put Dawson and family. It's mostly just like Dawson and Mitch. Dawson and Joey. Joey and Jack. Dawson and Jen. Pacey and Andy. And then there's like a tiny moment between Jack, Andy, and Pacey. So actually not that many pairs this week. Unlike last week, which was a fucking hot mess express for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So typically I would say like get the family stuff out of the way, but Mitch and Dawson's story kind of intertwines with Jen and Dawson's story.
Yeah, all that kind of goes together.
So I don't know. If you want to get into Dawson and Joey, we can. If you would rather start somewhere else,
yeah, I'm very open. Dawson and Joey's perfectly fine, yeah.
Because then we can talk about the Boston Film Festival, which, yeah. So basically, Dawson gets to open up a letter, and he realizes that he won the Boston Film Festival, which was, you know, the Swamp Thing movie that he was working on in the first half of the first season, which was never talked about again. So he goes right to Joey at school and says that he won $2,500 to use towards the next movie.
Crazy. Like, they won the best short film in the junior section of the Boston Film Festival. And I was just like, I don't know. I found it a bit unbelievable. I was like, this movie was pretty shit. Like, I can't believe it.
Okay, here we go. This is like what they wrote in the letter. Your clever send-up of the horror genre showed profound understanding of traditional Hollywood machinations. I don't know. Machinations. Okay. And turns them upside down in an entirely refreshing and entertaining way. And my response to that is, did they watch the same shitty movie that I did?
And Jen screaming, ah!
It was terrible. I don't know how Dawson won, but if I knew that this thing, the prize was $2,500, you know I would get out my old tripod and like my dad's camcorder and like really work towards it, especially if my competition was Dawson.
Yeah, right.
So Joey's excited for Dawson, and the other part of like this prize is that they got pre-accepted into the winter workshop, whatever the winter workshop is.
We don't know what it is, but we know that Dawson's excited about it. And he basically goes to Joey and he wants to do another film with her, and he's hoping that she'll help produce the film with him, which she immediately is like, no, I don't have any time. I'm taking art classes. And I don't know about this. Like, if I'm Dawson, maybe I give Joey some of the money, but half the money?
No.
Abso-fucking-lutely not. First of all, we talked about this. We joked about this in our opening. She had a piss-poor attitude. She kind of worked against the film at a certain point in the movie. And, like, not for nothing, but, like, what are you doing, Dawson? This is your ex-girlfriend. Like, give her, like, $500 and take the other $2,000 and make another movie. Come on.
Joey's really lucky to get anything out of this deal. I gotta be honest with you. Like, if I won this money, I don't think my first thought would be, like, let me give it to my ex-girlfriend / shitty producer that did absolutely nothing. But it's like, it's really nice of Dawson. Yeah. Like, he knows, like, ultimately that Joey's in more need of this money than he does. Mm-hmm. And, like, he knows that she can use it towards her art classes.
Right.
And yeah, like at first she doesn't accept it, but ultimately she does. And I think it's kind of crazy that she did too. Like, I wouldn't want to be beholden on Dawson because he can use it against her in the future. Like, remember that time I gave you $1,250? Don't say I didn't do anything for
and
you.
And honestly, he is the type that would do this. Yeah. Like, he totally is the type that would use it on her at a later date. But, like, here's the thing. I agree with you. It's very nice of him to do it. But if I'm her, I feel a little uncomfortable taking that money considering their past.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. It's a lot of money. Like, especially for Joey, especially for a 16-year-old, $1,000.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, she could use it towards art classes or even, like, she's trying to get out of Dawson's Creek, right? Like, she wants to get out of the creek. So she could use it towards, like, buying books for college when the time comes.
They can pay the phone bill for once.
Yeah, they can get a fucking boat with a motor. Oh my fucking
yeah.
But you know what? She doesn't need one anymore because she's not fucking going to Dawson's anymore.
So I mean, to be honest, like, that shitty shack in the middle of the nowhere, like, probably doesn't even have locks. Like, next thing you know, like, somebody is gonna break in and steal this cash.
Yeah. No, you're
that
right.
She like keeps
she's
under her
go
pillow.
Find a fucking bank.
She and you know she doesn't have a checking account.
No.
Like, she does not have a bank.
No.
Like, the whole family
probably
like,
one
buries
bank
money
in fucking Cape Side.
Yeah, it's a boat to it.
And it gets kind of awkward. So, like, basically when he goes to give her the money, like, she's, like, getting ready. It's very obvious. Like, she's not in her usual, like, hand-me-down, Dawson's hand-me-downs. She looks a little bit nicer. So he knows some things up, and she's like, oh, I'm just hanging with a friend. This is when I get very pissed off, right? Not one fucking episode ago, we get them arguing about, oh, Joey needs space. Joey needs space. She can't be friends with Dawson. First she wants to be friends. Then she needs space and they can't be friends. And now Joey asks if they could be fucking friends again. You know what, Joey? Pick a fucking lane. Do you want to be friends or not? Like, what is the deal here? Like, am I stupid? Was it not just last episode that they just had this clash of, like, being friends?
The worst part of it is this is the exact same thing that Jen did to Dawson.
Yes.
The exact same thing. And I talked about this the other episode, but it's like, if I was Dawson, I would just have so many trust issues. Because the same exact thing happened to him twice, that, oh, I can't date anybody because I need to work on myself. I need to, like, right, have space. And then next thing you know, both Jen and Joey are going on other dates with other men. So it's just like, no, I don't have space and time for you. And then on top of that, it's the whole, let's be friends, let's not be friends. It's very confusing.
Yeah, and it's really just like, I mean, it's the dagger to the heart is even being twisted in at this point, because he sees Jack as the friend that Joey's mm-hmm. going to be hanging out with. And this is after he tells Joey that, like, he's going to be where his next movie, he wants it to be a love story. I'm a sucker for happy endings, which is funny in so many ways. And yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It does feel, I totally get, and who are we? Where are we? Where we're, like, sympathizing with Dawson this season? Like, what the fuck kind of ass backwards universe have we stumbled into? I just feel like,
I mean, they had to have gotten so many complaints that their main character was intolerable.
Like, this is fucking Pacey's Pond. Make Dawson likable. Yeah. But here's the thing, yeah, like, It is shitty, because if we are to believe that the reason that Joey ended things with Dawson was because she needed to focus on herself and better herself and wants to focus on art, and then she fucking goes out on a dat or a date or whatever the fuck you want to call it with Jack, like, 2 fucking seconds later, if I'm Dawson, yeah, I'm pissed. Like, I'm upset. And I think it's a shitty situation. I don't know.
It is. It really, really, really is. I also, so, like, the last thing with Joey is that, like, after her dat with Jack, she goes into his bedroom and Doss is not there.
Why was she there?
What do you think? I don't know why she was there. I want to know, like, what she wanted and what she thought when Dawson wasn't there.
Well, okay, so I guess if we're going to break this down, right, she climbs in, she mm-hmm. seems very, like, happy, eager, in a good mood. And she's calling for him and she doesn't see him. She sees. So not only does he have an E.T. doll, he also has a stuffed animal shark, which we know is like a Jaws reference, right? Because he's obsessed with Spielberg. But why the fuck does he have a fucking shark stuffed animal, like, chilling on his bed like he's 5? And she, like, picks it up and she looks at it, like, fondly, right? And then she leaves. So I don't really know. And this is all after her date with Jack, where, like, seemingly she has a nice time. He, like, kisses her. She smiles. Why the fuck did she go to Dawson's? What was the deal with that?
I don't know. I don't know what she wanted. I can't even imagine, unless she, you know, decides that she wants to try being friends and try to, like, go back to how things were.
But it seems weird.
Like, talk to him.
Like, what is she going there for? Like, she's certainly not going to tell him about her date with Jack. Like, I'm sorry, that pushes the boundaries of friendship with an ex to be, like, talking about a date you just went on. I don't know if they, like, the show wanted us to know why she was there, because if they did, they certainly didn't do a good job at, like, having us figure it out. You know what I mean?
Was she going there to, like, was she questioning her date with Jack and, like, was, like, you know, like, it wasn't like our time spent together, like, me and you, Dawson? Like, is that what that was? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out next episode, right? Like, yeah, because it ended that way, it makes me think that they'll maybe try to explain it a bit more next episode.
Yeah. And it's like, where does she think that he is?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she has no idea. And I think here's the thing with Joey. I think that she breaks up with Dawson, and I truly believe that she doesn't think he has, like, a ton of other options, right? Like, if he turned around, and let's pretend he suddenly is dating Jen. We know that's not happening right now, but, like, let's pretend she sees Jen stumbling into his window drunk or whatever, right? And she sees that. You're telling me she's not going to be fucking upset? No, she's going to be upset. Yeah. Like, come on.
She's going to be upset. Yeah. Yeah, so let's get into, I guess, that aspect of it.
Dawson and Jen? Well, we can go, unless you want to stay on Joey, because we could do Joey and Jack, too.
Well, yeah, let's
finish
that.
Them Sorry. Out, I guess. Yeah. Again, take a fucking drink every time the full moon is fucking mentioned on this show. Like, fucking, that amount
it's
of times.
Honestly so funny now. It's so
it's
funny.
Ridiculous to me that everybody keeps blaming the full moon, because now it's like, well, then how many episodes are actual full moons? Like, every time the full moon comes out, crazy shit's gonna happen, because that's gonna be a long wait for us for crazy shit to happen.
yeah. So Jack comes up to Joey, mm-hmm. and he's like, wants to make things right by them, and he's like, it was a full moon. I'm sorry. It's not an excuse, but he's like, I want to get our friendship back on track because the silent treatment is killing me. And then, like, Joey's like, I wasn't, giving you the silent treatment. I just have a lot of stuff going on. It's like, yo, Joey, like, who are you, girl? Like, you know that you're giving him the silent treatment.
She's all over the place. It doesn't make any sense, because now she says she's not mad at him. She admits she was mad at herself. Not him. And it's like, I don't quite understand. I feel like we've seen three different Joeys in three different episodes. Like, she's all over the place.
Yeah, Joey's like on the definitely kind of just spiraling, and I don't want to say it, but like, she's definitely like losing points on my rankings a little bit.
I agree with you. I think she needs to, and I mean, she's a teenager. We're all talking about teenagers here, but at the same time, be consistent at least. Like, she's all over the map here.
All over the place. She's like, you know what? Like, and he's like, don't worry about it. Don't have inner turmoil. Don't beat yourself up. Like, I miss you, blah, 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 blah. So then we cut to the lunchroom, mm-hmm. and Jack is, like, making jokes with her, and they're, like, joking about, like, all the food on, like, the conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. Ha, ha, ha. So funny.
So cute. So funny. Cafeteria banter.
Yeah, the cafeteria banter. So then he invites her out that night to a dat. A dat is like a date, but without the E. It's as casual as you want it to be, essentially.
This is dumb. Either ask her out on a date or don't. Like,
this reminds me. Oh, go
no,
on.
No, I'm just going to say, he's like straddling a line here. Like, pick a lane. If you have a crush on Joey and you want to ask her fucking out. Don't play the middle here, because I feel like it gives mixed signals and it only opens the room up for a misinterpretation of feelings. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. like she might question his feelings, and he's not going to know how she truly feels, because she doesn't think it's a date, or maybe she does. I don't know. It just was a weird thing to do. I didn't think it was cute. I thought it was annoying.
This reminds me of the time when I was 16 and had an online boyfriend, and whenever he said that he loved me, he spelled it L-U-V, because that means that he didn't say love, L-O-V-E.
Oh, so, my God. That's so lame. Like, yes.
Love you with the you. Yeah. So that's what it reminds me of, to have that out of not fully saying love you, but instead saying L-O-V-L-U-V, mm-hmm. love you. So he's like, you know, we're gonna have a great time. There's no full moon for weeks. Don't worry, Joey. There's no full moon.
So ridiculous.
There's a full moon. Yeah, there's a full moon this week. I'm sure Jack was all over the place ruining lives.
I wish there were more fucking full moons, because that's when the crazy shit happens in fucking in the creek, you know? Mm-hmm. What did you think of their Jack's flirting approach, his flirting style in this scene?
Joey was into it, so it worked. Good for her.
I guess I just didn't think it was great. And then when they're actually on the date, he like I don't know. It was just a weird date. They're like sitting outside. They're like looking out at the sky. Jack is talking about almost getting hit by lightning. And he just like talks in fucking circles. He talks about the Weather Channel. I don't know. I feel like Jack and Joey both kind of suck at dating because Joey brings up Dawson on her date. And it's just like neither one of these two knows how to have a fucking proper date, in my opinion.
I thought that it was relatively romantic. So they're on the creek. They have a picnic. It's heat lightning out. Right. So it's like not raining, but because it's like so humid, there's lightning. Mm-hmm. And Jack loves lightning. So he was talking about his interests, Jess. Like what, you know, like what's the point of dating is to learn about each other.
He just seems so bland to me. Like I just mm-hmm. wish... I did like when we learned that he, like, was into art and, like, had that whole thing, and especially the full moon episode. Yeah. Like, I wanted more mm-hmm. of that, Jack. I felt like the Jack we got was a little bit more, like, just lame and boring. I don't know if I'm being too hard on him, but he just kind of bored me.
Yeah. Yeah. So totally they talk about Dawson a little, like how he felt like he was in a Western, but he's like up for the challenge because some things are worth fighting for. And like, you know, if I was Dawson, I would never let you slip through my fingers, blah, blah, blah.
I can't with
Joey
this
still
stuff.
Likes it. Ugh. Joey still likes it. He likes it. She likes it. Yeah. He likes it too. And then,
everybody
you know,
likes
they.
It except me.
Everyone likes it. So they except you. So then, like, Joey and Jack walk to Joey's house, which is weird because, like, you have to motorboat to Joey's house.
He motorboated her all the way home.
And, you know, they had, like, a fun, unique evening and, like, they kiss mm-hmm. and she smiles. And she promises not to stop speaking to him because it's a crescent moon, because there's no full moon, no worries.
Oh, my fucking God. So many talks about the goddamn moon.
Yeah, this is like our third or fourth time talking about the moon. He wants to hang out again. She says it's a possibility and she had a really nice time. So it seems like, you know, as bland as this date might be, there might not be a lot of drama here. It seems like she's enjoying it, but I just don't understand, like, why she wants to go on dates. If she claims that it doesn't have anything to do with Dawson, then, you know, and it has everything to do with herself, and she really still has feelings for Dawson, then why does she feel the need to go on dates with Jack?
This is my biggest issue. Yeah, it's like they're not doing a good job. The show, I should say, is not doing a good job at explaining to us how Joey is feeling. And like, to me, it was very much a case of, well, we got Dawson and Joey together, now it's time to break them up. And they never gave the viewers a solid reason why, right? And if they want to point to it being Joey wants to learn about herself and take time to get into art and blah, blah, blah. Okay, all that makes sense. Then don't immediately put her with Jack. Like, it has been like two episodes, right? And it seems very quick. So I just don't quite get it. And I think as
a
result,
it's really confusing.
Yeah. And I think as a result, like, if you want your viewers to root for Jack and Joey, which it's kind of sort of seems like the show wants us to do, then make them rootable. Like, I don't think they're making them very rootable, in my opinion, right now.
I didn't really have a problem with their date. Like, I thought the date was fine. Like, I think that ultimately, like, what Joey likes in Jack is that he's such an intellectual, and he's always opening her eyes to new things and, like, new interests that she's never really, mm-hmm. like, explored before. Like, all she's really known is, like, her life and then, like, Spielberg. So, So I think, like, she enjoys, like... She enjoys him talking about nature. She enjoys him talking about art because, like, he's opening up doors in her eyes to things that she's never really explored before. Yeah. But ultimately, the writers are doing a disservice because then it's making it seem like it really was Dawson.
Yeah.
Why she didn't want to keep dating Dawson, which is the opposite of what they were telling us.
Right.
Aside from the fact that they are hinting that she started having feelings for Jack a little.
Yeah, but I think maybe if their date was something more like they went to an art class together or something like that, where like we could have seen their shared interest really like blossoming. Maybe that's what I was looking for. It just felt kind of strange. I don't know. I don't know that it fully worked for me. I could totally see them being a match in terms of like their personalities and everything and their interests.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the show didn't do a great job, especially when it's so soon after her and Dawson break up for reasons that they told us were because she wanted to be alone. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not fully on board with it yet.
Yeah. I hear you.
All right. So moving on, do we want to get into, do we want to save the Pacey and Andy stuff for last?
Yeah, my baby angels.
Okay. So let's go.
My favorite people ever.
So let's get Dawson and Pacey out of the way because they were like a brief, they replaced the Dawson and Joey of yesteryear in opening the show for us in Dawson's bedroom. And we quickly see that Dawson much preferred Joey's company to Pacey's when it's movie night because Pacey just steals all the pepperoni and doesn't shut up.
He doesn't shut up. He's not focused on the movie. He doesn't want to talk about the like the nuances of film. He doesn't like it that it's black and white.
Yeah, he's over.
He doesn't like that all the people in the movie are dead. He's like, there's new releases. Like, we can still see new things. And yeah, this is pissing Dawson off because he is a lover of old films and exploring that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, nobody cares. Basically, Pacey calls him a dying breed, the last of a dying breed. When they're in the middle of this entire conversation, Jen fucking climbs in the window. She's drunk as a skunk, drops her purse in his fucking hedge, passes out on his bed. Apparently, this is the third time this has happened this week, which I have two questions. One, since when is Dawson okay with this? Because previously he was not. Maybe, I guess, he feels like it's fine now that he's not with Joey. And two, where the fuck is Grams in this equation? How does she not realize Jen hasn't been sleeping at home? Like, Grams is far too much of a strict guardian to not realize this is happening.
Yeah, Grams normally has, like, the reins a little bit tighter. I don't know what Grams... Maybe Grams went on some sort of... expedition.
What is it called when they go help other people in other countries? I forget what it's called. Missionary trip. That's what it is.
But yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because Grams is all like always up Jen's ass. So yeah, she's about to be sick, but she passes out. So Pacey's basically like, you know, you're trying to be this, like, heroic guy, like, you know, just like the guy in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this kind of, it makes sense and it tracks throughout this episode with Dawson, even when he's at a party trying to let loose a little bit, doesn't quite work out for him. Do we want to move? Let's move next to, I guess, Dawson and Jen, and then we'll get into Dawson and his dad.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Sure. Dawson's in the lunchroom working on his movie script and Jen comes up to him. She asks about his new movie. And I really like this because, like, he tells her that he won the award and she's so proud of him and so happy for him. And, like, this is kind of like the hype person that Dawson was hoping to get from Joey. Yeah. So, you know, and she wants to be a part of it and she wants, like, better dialogue than, like, help and
I did love that callback. I thought that was a great callback to the first season. I completely agree. I loved Jen in this scene. I thought she seemed really genuine and, like, really genuinely happy for Dawson. So I really liked it up until Icky Chris gives her a shoulder rub.
Icky Chris and Gross Todd come
as Shay Bell henceforth be known.
Right. And they're like, hey, Jen, been looking for you. Like, last night was wild. Yeah. Like, can't believe you made it here today.
You can't believe you're awake. I feel like they're the guys that do, like, the, what is it called when you put your pinky and your thumb out and you, like, wave them around? I forget what that's called.
Chakra bra.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Chakra bra.
Yeah, like, yeah, dude, can't believe you made it after last night. Like, you were so blitzed, man.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. so we're having a party tonight, man. Like, it's going to be crazy. Are you in? Or are you in? Yeah.
Kegs and eggs.
Did you guys have kegs? Do you have kegs and eggs in Jersey?
I've never had kegs and eggs.
There's a thing called kegs and eggs in Albany near me and upstate. And basically you just drink your fucking face off. Everybody, I don't know if it's on St. Patrick's Day. I think it is. And you like drink from like sun up till sundown. But like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what happened, but a few years back, people went a little bit nuts. And by nuts, I mean they basically ruined people's cars. Like, they were on people's cars damaging them. It was crazy. But yeah, definitely have heard of kegs and eggs. Sounds disgusting to me. I would never want to drink beer and eat eggs, but you know, it's not my thing.
Sounds like an upstate thing to me.
Yes.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So Jen invites Dawson, and then she gets upset about him, or upset at him, because he's judging her. And she's basically like, I'm not out of control. I'm just having a really fun time. Like, this is how I want to live my life.
Judgy Judgerson at it again. Mm-hmm. You know, not losing control. I'm just having fun, Dawson. Mm-hmm. So Dawson asks if he can go to the party. And Jen's like, you know what, Dawson? Like, you can come, but you can't bitch or moan about my partying habits. And you have to come with an open mind.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's very fair.
Very fair.
If you
want to
come, Dawson, then you can't be up my ass. You can't be, like, moping in the corner. You can't, like, be giving me glares. Like, you gotta have fun.
Don't play, like, Mr. Dad. Like, come on now.
No.
And she immediately clocks.
And this is on a date?
Yeah, no, this isn't a date. And I love how she clocks that he just had a conversation with Joey. Like, Jen, in my opinion, for part of this episode, was the Jen that we knew from season one, where she caught on to what was happening immediately. She sets Dawson in his place and is like, don't be a snooze fest. Don't be a freaking wet blanket. Come on now.
What is this? The JL rules? Like, don't be lame. Don't be a snooze fest. Don't bitch. Don't moan.
Yeah, can't judge. This is not a date.
Can't judge.
Yeah.
All of the above. Yeah, the JL rules. Yes. You gotta follow it if you
want a party.
Pick me up at 7.
Yeah, and she knows he's on the rebound as well. As soon as they get there, Jen is off dancing with Chris. And
Chris and Todd.
Yeah, Icky Chris and what was Todd again? Something Todd. You said something. I can't remember what it was. Icky Chris and Gross Todd. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I think so. And they were a throuple to begin with in this whole thing.
Girl, when I tell you, this was like, whoa, all right, a lot happening here. Like, basically, Chris asked Dawson if he's also hooking up with Jen. He's like, Jen is like the best friend I've ever had, man. Like, Jen's great. And then we see, like, Jen go upstairs with Chris, and also, like, she's in the middle of holding hands between Chris and Todd. Icky Chris and Gross Todd. and
thirsty and Jen. Then of course, like, Dawson's like watching her throughout the night, mm-hmm. and then he follows her upstairs, and they're starting to like have a threesome, and of course, like, he opens it up and he thinks that he's like the hero.
He's the
like,
knight in shining
stop
armor
right there. I gotta know right now, are you going to hook up with Jen or not as a thruple? But then he's like, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna lift her up, put her over my shoulder because I'm the hero, I'm the knight in shining armor, I'm gonna save Jen from her fuck fest.
It's yeah.
like, what happens if Jen wants to have a threesome?
Well, that's the thing. He's like, I'm gonna save you from the double penetration. But at the same point in time, you're right. Like, here's the thing. First of all, I feel like picking up a drunk person and throwing them over your shoulder just is a recipe for getting throw up on your back. First of all. Second of all.
Yeah. No, oh, wait. Hold on. Yes. Second of all, on just piggybacking on that. At this point, Jen is dripping sweat. Yes. So much sweat. So much she's sweat. Showering her herself and her body. Own. Her. Yeah. So, like, automatically, like, puke on your back, like, sweat on your shoulder. Like, she is, like, literally spitzing up a storm.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah. And here's the thing, too.
Hot and steamy takes a new level when you're literally, like, drenched in sweat. Like, your gross haircut is, like, plastered down by just, like, sweat. Like, everybody's
yeah, she can't
sweat.
Pull her She's hair like back. It's too short.
Very wet. It's like, you know, you would think that they had, like, a shower together. No.
No.
It's just perspiration.
I'm just picturing, like, every time they yell cut when filming, someone comes in with a spray bottle and just sprays her down.
Bad Jen. Bad Jen.
Yeah.
Bad Jen. You gotta kiss harder. Like, spritz, spritz, spritz. And Michelle Williams is like, please no.
Enough. Please, too no. Much. Not the face. Yeah. Not the hair. It looks great. But that's the other thing. Like, when he pulls her out of there, here's the thing. If she was unconscious or, you know what I mean, like, not, she was fully coherent. She was fully there. Like, she was drunk, but she was aware of what she was doing.
She was mostly there.
She had her faculties, I guess is how I would put it. And so, like, is this on Dawson? I mean, eventually it seems like she comes around on his decision to pull her out of there. But when he first does it and they get outside, she freaks out at him. She says, you're trying to pull the plug on anyone having a good time. I'm just having a good time.
Yeah. And then she's like, you're avoiding dealing with the fact that you're unhappy. Frankly, it's disgusting.
Yeah. You're the unhappiest fucking person judgy, I've bitch. Ever seen. And here's the thing. Like, they're both right. They're both unhappy. But Dawson is right, too. He says, well, at least I'm not trying to pretend I'm not unhappy. Like, I'm not putting on this face of, like, binge drinking to make myself feel better.
I'd rather take this melancholy over whatever you're going on any day. Yeah.
And then we have, first of all, her throwing up was fucking disgusting. Second of all, why the fuck? You're outside. Why would you try to cover your mouth? Like, you just got throw up all over your hands. It was nasty.
She's like, isn't it ironic that I puked on the white picket fence? It's like, ugh, sure, Jan, God, whatever you say.
So finally, I guess Jen's like, I can't go home, Dawson. Wah. So he brings her to fucking Mitch's house.
Oh, but you're, like, missing, like, the dramatic. Oh, sorry, yes. Like, the dramatic. Don't be disgusted about me, by me. Deal with me. Accept me. Except for the fact that there's people in this world who don't need saving.
She's so fucking dramatic.
I've tried to live my life like you, Dawson. I just don't have that sort of hope, but if everyone was people like you, if this is one of those like fast typing, essentially she was saying like you're special and if everybody else was special like you then you wouldn't be that special. You're special,
you're
so Jen
special. It's a whole fucking thing.
I mean, you think that you're, you know, very confident with yourself, and you probably think that you're special. Do you think that you're special because you're miserable?
The way that you just said that was like the the shadiest way to say someone is confident. You're confident. You probably think you're fucking special. Like, no, bitch. You think it's like the way you said it was like, you think you're special.
No, you're special, Jess. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
Is it because you're miserable?
Is it because you're miserable? Because that's what he thinks. He thinks that the reason why she's so miserable is because she's special. Yeah. Only miserable people are special, according to Dawson and Friends.
Oh, well, you feel things so deeply. It's so tragic. Like, that's what he's trying to fucking say. Him and his goddamn Pisces brain.
Yeah. And then she's like, I know where we can go. I'm going to go to my dad's apartment.
Because me and my dad are friends now. So Dawson brings Jen water. Jen asks about his movie, which why she would think in her drunken stupor to ask him about his movie is beyond me. But he says it's going to be a romance. Star-crossed lovers.
No happy endings. No happy endings. Promise me.
Things never end happy in real life.
They're bogus and unrealistic.
Yeah. Oh, you'll feel better in the morning. And this is when, I don't know if this is a sassy saying, but I had to like put it down as mine. You'll feel better in the morning. And Jen says, I really wish that were true.
And then she's like, before she goes to sleep, she asks again for no happy endings, Dawson. It's like, well, you know, that's the issue. This is why Dawson's so miserable, because he got no happy endings. He's getting more happy endings.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This whole storyline. So where do we think things are going between Jen and Dawson? Because, I mean, we didn't really talk big picture. Like, it seems like they're at least friendly now, right? Like, this is the friendliest that we've seen them in a while. While he did like invite them to come to the dance with them, and he was all for the like Jack and Jen of it all, which we haven't seen them hanging out at all, actually. I'm kind of surprised based on how they left things in that dance episode. But what do we think is going to happen in the future with Dawson and Jen? They seem friendly.
I think if they were good, then they would develop their friendship, which would build a nice foundation for eventually trying again to date. Mm-hmm. But these are kids. These are some dumb kids. And they're probably going to jump into some shenanigans again sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely could happen. But I'm sure we're going to see more of Jen spiraling before any of that. She's not done with Abby. Where is Abby? Ugh, I don't know where she went. Especially because
so
a party like that is prime opportunity for Abby to be there and cause chaos, right? Like, I'm surprised she wasn't there. But all right, let's move into Dawson and Mitch. Mitch decides he wants to be that parent now. He wants to be the parent that's the kid's fucking friend. He's so desperate for friends that he tries to befriend his own son.
Yeah. So he's like drinking coffee at his breakfast table at the house. And Dawson's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, I'm packing, moving out. But I was hoping that you can help me later. We can order some pizza and spend time together and like do the friend thing. And he's like, I'll help you, but we're not friends. I have real friends for that.
Yeah. And basically he's like, I don't think you moving is a great idea. He basically blames Mitch for all of this. Later on is when Dawson eventually does help him move, and Mitch wants to talk. He asks about Joey, and Dawson's like, Joey dumped me and is falling for another guy. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay, sorry I asked.
Sorry about that.
And then he's like, well, how's Jen? Probably drunk and stuck to a sidewalk somewhere.
So dark.
Like, I was like, why don't you just help your friend then? Like, why are you? Okay, I just want to clarify, like, this is absolutely totally the warehouse that he bought from Tamara, right?
It looks like it, yes. It looks like it's like an industrial style apartment. I assume it's like upstairs from that warehouse. That's what the visual seems like, at least.
Okay. So then we get, you know, he's like, let's be friends. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he says, like, you have to respect my decision to leave. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he's like, and Dawson, of course, goes, all I ever do is respect people's decisions. I'm sick of it. It makes everyone feel better but me. It makes me feel like hell. Okay.
It not quite on the pantheon of I conclude your conclusion sucks, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. Yeah. Like Dawson whining, honestly, is very entertaining for me.
It's so funny.
It is funny.
It's like he's in agony, but it's like he's very dramatic about yeah. it.
Oh my God.
That's what makes Dawson so special.
It is.
Right?
The fact that he cries all the time.
Is that he's miserable. Yeah. Actually, Dawson's onto something.
Yeah.
Dawson's special because he's miserable. That is a fact.
That's his superpower. He's always miserable.
Point blank, because he's miserable.
Yeah. And basically, Dawson is like, I don't want a friend or a buddy. I want a father. Can you respect that? And then they do kind of like bond a little bit when he brings Jen over because he says he's always seen Mitch as Harrison Ford. And like Mitch admits that like he's not perfect. Like obviously you grow up and you realize that your parents are people too and they have faults just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Mitch says, I can be your father and if you let me, your friend. And it's like, Mitch, obviously he doesn't want to be your friend. Just be his parent. That's all you need to be.
No, but he wants to be the cool dad.
He does.
Like they could eventually have beers yeah. with each other.
And... Hey kids, I got you snacks. I'm the cool parent.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like Mitch was like cool. Like he let Dawson bring Jen home drunk to his apartment and sleep on like an air mattress or wherever she was. Just a mattress on the floor. So he was being cool about it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think that Gail would have like had a big like aneurysm if he brought her home either.
No, so. I think Gail would have been cool with it too. I think both of his parents would be cool about it because he did the responsible thing, right? Like
Dawson gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. Like literally,
most of these teenagers do. Most of these teenagers do whatever they want.
I guess so.
Shall we move on to Pacey and subsequently Pacey and Andy?
Yeah.
We find Pacey. Out. Yeah, we find out his GPA, Pacey. And it is not good.
1.7.
That's fucking atrocious. A 1.7.
I mean, how little work do you have to do to get a 1.7? I don't remember like GPAs when I was in high school.
I mean, I can look it up. Like what? Yeah, GPA.
What do you mean?
GPA letter grade. So a 1.7 is the equivalent of a C minus. And a percentage of like 70 to 72 is where his average.
No, it's not
is.
That bad.
I thought it was much worse, to be honest, because a 1.7 just seems very low. But I guess that's he's basically yeah. on the verge of failing. He failed biology and history. He's failing biology and history. He failed a career aptitude test, which also seems like bullshit in my opinion. Because we know Pacey's smart and doesn't apply himself. So to me, that does not translate right. to failing a career aptitude test.
Yeah, well, he probably didn't answer half the questions. He has no extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. He can be disruptive in class. No career objectives. So basically, the guidance counselor is like dragging Pacey through the mud. Like,
yeah.
You suck. You're stupid. Like, the only way you're gonna get through this is if you take summer school and you repeat your sophomore year.
Which,
and after that, like, who knows if you're even going to be like cool then?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, I don't know if this is depending on what state you live in or what the deal is, but I thought 65 was passing. At least when I went to high school, a 65 yeah. was considered passing. And if he has a 1.7, that means that he's passing overall. It's a 70 or 70-ish.
Maybe he's saying, like, if you keep going down this track.
Maybe.
But it's, like, also it's sophomore year. You still have 2 years to be able to
turn
like,
it around.
Lift yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think he has to repeat sophomore year. I think this guidance counselor is being a dick.
I think he's being a bit harsh, as does Andy. When Pacey explains this whole situation to her, she's upset with the guidance counselor because she feels like he's dismissing Pacey rather than helping him, which I don't disagree yeah. with. Like the guy basically treated Pacey like a lost cause. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was the right approach.
Well, this argument that Andy makes about how they, like, dismiss certain students because of whatever reason and don't, like, realize, like, you know, don't take the time to realize that they need to be, like, rescued from, like, whatever bad situation they're in, yeah, rather than ridiculed. Like, this is the exact problem that I have with public school systems and guidance counselors. Like, I feel like I got the short end of a stick in my own experience with a guidance counselor. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast or another, or I don't even know if I don't know. I don't remember. But, like, obviously, I was going through a lot when I was in school, mm-hmm, in high school. Like, my dad, like, was diagnosed with, like, a life-ending illness when I was in middle school. And I was getting, like, ridiculed in school. And there's a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. And I stopped caring about school. And I don't feel like my guidance counselor, like, took it seriously. Like, I don't think that I was given the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I was just... You know, I did poorly in school and people just like were just like, you just are a bad student, when in reality I was going through my own little turmoil. Mm-hmm. So this, I mean, I don't mean to get on my high horse, but Andy has it exactly right. And yep, like, so does the, you know, the lunchroom agrees. They clap for Andy.
I loved that. I loved that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with her. I think that, like, a lot of times you're right. They, like, students just get dismissed as quote unquote bad students or people who are, like, incapable of being saved, when I don't know if Pacey's guidance counselor knows what's going on at home, right? Like, he doesn't know everything that's going on in Pacey's life. And not for nothing, but I feel like anybody who's talked to Pacey for more than 5 minutes can see that he has a brain in his fucking head, and that's not the issue. And even if that was the issue, find a way to help that student. Don't just dismiss them, right? Like, if someone has dyslexia, mm-hmm, or some other, you know, like, something that basically makes it harder for them to learn, or, mm-hmm, you know, is prohibitive in whatever way, then you help them. You don't just dismiss them. And it does seem like that is the method the guidance counselor is taking.
Yeah, well, Pacey said in a different episode, like, it doesn't matter to his family if he brings home an A or C minus, he still's dismissed. So he's learned, like, why am I going to try to apply myself and, you know, be the best student if, like, nobody gives a shit at home? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But Andy takes...
No, so go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that I love the way that Andy, even though she says all of that, she also is like, but I'm not coming to your pity party. Like, you need to reinvent yourself. Heroes are made, not born. Like, you can do this. If you act like a joke, people are going to treat you like one. So I love the mixture of her being outraged at the way the guidance counselor handled things, but also still giving the Pacey a bit of tough love that he does need.
Right. Yeah. So she's very, very uplifting to him. Like, she's so supportive, but she does give a little bit of tough love. Like, you're not going to, you know, she's not going to allow him to, like, give up on himself. Yeah. Like, she knows that he can reinvent himself. She knows that he can try harder. And he says, like, you know, I don't even know where to start. Like, and she says, you know, you got to start from the inside. Like, anybody can change their fate. So, I'm really starting to endear myself to Andy. Like, mm-hmm, she really is, like, kind of just a perfect gem. Like, she's a great character, a really great person. It's like, what's not to love about Andy?
Especially, I think this episode even puts it even more into perspective, right? Because once Jack tells them that he has a date with Joey, Jack asks if Andy can watch their mom. And mm-hmm, it very much seems like Andy is very optimistic about her mom's new medication, whereas Jack is, like, very much a pessimist, saying, like, I don't know, she just had an episode the other day, on and on. And then once Pacey arrives at her house, we see that her mom is still, you know, talking about Tim as if he were still alive. And Andy is still very much like, no, she has her good days and her bad days. And then when we go up to her room, she has all of these awards. Like, it's very obvious that she has a ton on her plate. And Pacey also notices it. And he asks, like, you know, aren't you tired? You're studying. You have great grades. You're taking care of your whole family. And you're taking me on as, like, you know, you're my own personal tutor in a way. It just seems like, where are the flaws, right? Where are the flaws in Andy? Because she has everything going for her. It's just, or excuse me, the opposite. She works very hard, and there's a lot going against her right now in her personal life. So I love Andy. I think that she, I love her zest. Like, I feel like she has a lot of like oomph behind her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she also is just very sweet. So yeah, now you can see why everybody loves Andy, because she really is a gem. She really is.
Yeah. There's not much to dislike about her. So they're studying, and Andy gets a phone call, and apparently they have to meet Andy's mom at the market, who's like making some sort of a scene. Like, I don't exactly know like what she's doing to make such a scene, but apparently this is like the third time this has happened. And they, you know, they're, you know, the market owners, like, you know, really like the family and they think that they're really nice, but it's not good for business to be like making a scene. Like, once again, I don't totally understand like what Mrs. McPhee was
doing.
They
didn't fully explain it, but it seemed, well, she basically was like talking about her husband, right? Like, oh, call my husband. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He takes care of everything. So I thought for a moment that maybe like she went there and then like was lucid and realized that Tim was gone and like freaked out. Because then Pacey's like, it's Pacey. Do you remember me? It's Pacey. Like, but I don't know. We didn't get a clear, and it was weird because there was a crowd around her, but she wasn't like, she was just holding a basket. Like, she wasn't freaking out or anything. So I don't really, I don't think we still have a clear idea on exactly what is going on with Mrs. McPhee. Like, we don't really know what's causing her to not remember that that Tim is dead. There's something going on, but we don't know what.
Yeah. So Andy comes, tries to pull her away. She won't move. And then Pacey, you know, steps up and he, you know, like talks her off the ledge and calms her down and asks her to, like, you know, make him a sandwich, which, like, I guess, like, the whole thing is, like, you know, like, let's, like, focus on one thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, all the noise around you isn't, like, suffocating you. Like, let's, like, you know, take care of me. Like, you want to be, like, a mothering figure. Like, take care of me. Make me a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
And this is a really good method, I thought, as well. Because both times he's been around her, she's, like, offered him food, offered him dinner, offered to make them snacks. So I thought, like, he used that to his advantage here in a really, really smart way.
Yes, exactly. So he's able to, like, escort her out of the store. And then he's, you know, he's, like, very, like, you know, you're my savior, Mrs. McPhee. Like, thank you so much. Like, everything's going to be okay. They put Andy and Pacey put her mom to bed. And, you know, Pacey's worried about Andy. But, like, you know, Andy's, like, you know, very determined to, like, make sure everything's under control and, like, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. She appreciates you know, Pacey. I think that the fact that, like, he's good with, like, her mother probably makes, like, a world of difference in how she sees him.
Well, yeah, because we know that she hasn't really told anybody about her mom, right? And, like, that's a huge burden and a huge secret to be keeping. And I feel like it's obviously going to limit who you can let into your personal life, friends-wise, at school. Because if you don't want them to know, then you can't have them over. And you certainly can't be, like, flitting off to and fro to rescue your mom from the market when you know what I mean? Like, it's going to interrupt your personal life. So I love this moment between Pacey and Andy. And Andy was like, oh, you were spectacular. I'm so proud of you. And Pacey just never hears that. So it's a huge moment for him, too. And I love that then he's like, oh, well, we have to go upstairs. And she's like, oh, Pacey. And he's like, no, we have to study. Like, I don't know.
Oh, Pacey. She likes that as much as anything else.
I know.
It
was cute. But, yeah, I love their relationship. I feel like it's going really well. Like, I think that they're connecting. And I think in this situation, unlike some of the other couples we've seen, these two only boost each other up, right? We haven't really seen a moment yet. And it's very early on, obviously. But we haven't seen a moment yet where they're tearing each other down. Like, they're really helping one another, being a really, really good support system for one another when they both have such issues with their family life. They're kind of relying on each other.
I know. I know. I really like this. I really like them as a couple. I really like how they're developing naturally. Mm-hmm. I just like it so far. And I'm just like trying to, you know, be in the moment and enjoy it now, because obviously I know this isn't going to last forever. So I'm just going to try to enjoy it at this time. It's going to hurt when this unravels, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, no relationship on a teen drama lasts forever, that's for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I agree, though. I love the beginnings of their relationship, so exciting to see where that goes.
Yep.
I did have a notable 90s song. I had to look up the name of it, but I did recognize it in the moment. And it was Acoustic Number 3 by the Goo Goo Dolls, which is a pretty famous name. And that was the song that played when Joey was looking for Dawson at the very end of the episode.
Yes. Actually, we had Linda write in, and that was her notable 90s song of the week.
Yes.
She said, love the closing song choice. Acoustic Number 3 is my favorite Goo Goo Dolls song.
Yes. It was interesting. I've never heard, like, I recognized the song, but I didn't know that was the name of it. And when I originally looked it up, I was like, wait a minute, is this right? Because it didn't seem like Acoustic Number 3 is an interesting name for a song. But yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
Do we want to get into feedback?
Yeah, so I'll continue this email from Linda. Hey, ladies, another episode, another week on the creek, or should I say pond? We are full Pacey Pond fans, stands, whatever. The Reluctant Hero is such a perfect title for this episode, and it starts off with some awesome foreshadowing, a tale of a man faced with his heroic nature. Welcome to Pacey's Pond.
I love that. That was great.
Yeah. Pacey meets with the school guidance counselor, who tells him his best case scenario is summer school and repeating the sophomore year. He reiterates Pacey's belief he is nothing and there's no hope for him. How the heck did this guy get fired? Get hired. I think that he should get fired. That's what I personally think. And I want to say, is there a good guidance counselor out there? I don't know. Jess, how was your guidance counselor experience?
I mean, it was fine. I wouldn't say that my guidance counselor made a big impact on my schooling at all or my life in any way. I really rarely met with my guidance counselor, but I also wasn't the type, like, I had good grades. Like, I didn't really feel like I needed someone to point me in any particular direction. So I certainly wasn't a student who was like craving the advice of a guidance counselor. So I don't know that my my experience is the norm. I don't think so.
Andy has Pacey's back and he deflects with humor again because he isn't used to having somebody in his corner. He eventually admits he doesn't know how to change or where to start. And Andy replies with one of my favorite lines from the show. Try starting from the inside. Anyone can change their fate. Heroes are made, not born, which is what you pointed out earlier. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great line and something to, you know, kind of bring with you.
Yeah, 100%.
The way Pacey looks at Andy, she really believes in me. Something nobody's ever given him before. Everyone just accepted he would be a screw up. That makes me so sad because it's so true. Mm-hmm. And I, it's like, that's ultimately what I'm gathering out of this Pacey and Andy relationship, is that Pacey's finally hearing from somebody in this universe that he's worth something. Yeah. And the fact that he's never been told that before. I just really love that Pacey has somebody to, you know, tell him that he's, you know, not a joke and not the town screw up, right, and not a loser and not all these things that have been like hounded into him time after time again.
Yeah, I would say even Dawson to an extent treats him that way sometimes. Like, he doesn't take him seriously very often. Mm-hmm. I think we had like a flash in the pan of Joey taking him somewhat seriously, maybe a little bit, in that one episode where he was going to ask
I don't think up. Enough.
No, not to the extent that Andy does, obviously. No. But yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah. The sound, the scene at Molly's Market still hits me in the feels. Mm-hmm. Quote, this sounds to me like a triple decker sandwich. Will you make me a sandwich, Miss McPhee? Pacey's the man being faced with his heroic nature. The way he is there for both Andy and his mom proves that he's a hero. He is a good person. He's capable of so much. Mm-hmm. She quotes Andy a few more times. She loves the line, don't you see I mean, you just proved yourself wrong, PC. You can be anything that you want. What you did for me tonight was nothing short of spectacular. Proud of you.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not really used to hearing those words. I'm proud of you, at least not when they're directed at me, you know? I feel for Pacey. I feel like I can definitely relate to Pacey in this whole scene. Especially somebody that, like, values words of affirmation. Like, just saying, like, I'm proud of you or you're doing good. For some people, it's, like, really what they need to hear in their lives.
Just because, you know, Pacey hasn't really heard it. So, yeah, they mean those words mean a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, Andy believing in Pacey makes him start believing himself. She made him see he is capable of great things and gives him hope for an actual future. This is one of the many reasons why I adore Andy and love her so much with Pacey. She sees the truly amazing person Pacey is and helps him find himself. Signed, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. That was great.
Thank you, Linda. Linda, don't tell me, but, like, tell me how I'm supposed to care about anybody else with Pacey other than Andy.
Don't tell her
anything. Don't tell me anything, but why? How am I supposed to give a shit about any potential matches in the future?
Because you'll see. You'll see.
I don't want to see. I want to live in this reality right now where Andy and Pacey are perfect together.
It's here right now, but, like, in all teen dramas, everything is fleeting.
I'm not going to like it. I guarantee you. I'm going to dig my heels in and be like, I don't like it.
I can't wait. I don't want to wait.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to. I don't know how many episodes we have left until then, but seems like a lot. We have our email from Dirtbag Kelly. Hi, Dirtbag Kelly. He lets me know that this episode aired on November 25th, 1998, because he is so kind and considerate.
I hope Kelly heard me roll my eyes right there, because I did. I definitely did. Kelly, it's unnecessary, Kelly.
I appreciate it. So, this full moon thing is going to keep coming up, huh?
I can't lie. I love it. Yep. I think it's so stupid and funny.
Pacey overstepping a bit here, talking with Andy, talking about her mom. Oh, so, like, he does, like, at first be like, he is like, hey, like, what's going on with your mom? It's like, hey, Pacey, how about you, like, don't ask questions like that?
I think it's just Pacey cares. And I think, like, I think Andy kind of lives in a different dimension right now. Like, she likes to pretend like everything's fine. And we know that Jack doesn't do a good job of, like, communicating with Andy about it, right? We see him say, like, I don't know, Andy, like, I don't think her medication's working, but he doesn't, like, really push on it. So I think Andy almost needs somebody to give her, like, a little bit of a dose of reality.
She doesn't really live in total reality with this stuff. Yeah. Like, she's a little bit too optimistic.
Exactly.
Kelly thinks Jack's coming on strong to Joey. I'm not sure if we caught it, but when Dawson brings Jen outside at the party, the Flies, Got You Where I Want You, is playing in the background, which is funny because Katie Holmes is in that music video.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's really quick and it switches to another song for the majority of that conversation, though. So that's a kind of a really fun Easter egg.
Yeah.
You know, Pacey to the rescue. He likes that. Does my girl Andy have some impure thoughts final scene?
That was cute. I loved that part, though. That was silly.
Andy is a woman, and she is probably hoping for more than a little peck from Pacey, yes. I think.
Yes, definitely.
Lots of Mitch and Dawson in this episode. Kind of feel like Dawson was being a jerk to Mitch for the majority of the episode. But I still think that Dawson is a mama's boy. But I just don't get how Dawson thinks that Mitch should just get over it when he clearly doesn't get over things himself. Or am I missing something? I think Dawson is clearly Mitch's son when it comes to all of Dawson's reactions.
They're literally like the same person. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, all the things that we dislike about Dawson is directly what we dislike about Mitch. Mm-hmm. Like father, like son. If Joey and Dawson were together and she banged Jack. Sorry, was going on. Sorry, was having going on in the affair. Everyone at the ice house knew about it. Yeah, yeah. Like, Dawson would lose his shit, right? Yeah, so essentially, yes, of course. Like, if everybody knew at the ice house that Joey was having an affair with Jack, then of course Dawson would lose it.
Yeah.
Also, is their school cafeteria like our school cafeteria? Because Dirtbag Kelly's definitely was not like this. Like, what was your go-to purchase at your cafeteria? Dirtbag Kelly's was a big cookie. Anyway, ladies, great work as always. My cafeteria was kind of like this, so except that it was in like enclosed area, like it, you know, where you picked up your food was in like a different like
room. Ours was too,
the big area. And then my favorite thing to get were, so there was a couple of things. Number one, I've talked about this before, I don't know where, but I would always get a Caesar salad wrap. But Caesar was spelt wrong.
Yes, you did talk about this. I don't remember. Yeah. I think it was on the Boy Meets World podcast, maybe.
Yeah. So, like, it was spelt, like, C-E-A-S-A-R instead of, like, the A before the E. And then I would get – they had cookies as well, and they were undercooked, and it was really good. And then, like, an occasional fry moment. Mm-hmm. But definitely I remember the Caesar salad wrap. Yeah.
In high school, I didn't ever buy lunch. I usually brought lunch. But I would usually get Welch's fruit snacks from the vending machine. But I don't ever remember buying lunch.
And then in the mornings, they had bagels. And the bagels were really good.
That's yummy.
But then they were, like, wrapped in saran wrap. And they're, you like, know how, sweat. Like, saran wrap? It's like it has a specific smell. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then your bagel kind of smells like saran wrap. But, yeah. I didn't really have it, but they had breakfast sandwiches in the morning too.
Mm, nice. Yeah. I never had breakfast at school. I always eat like on my way.
Well, thank you to Linda and Dirtbag Kelly for our emails, our feedback. We love getting emails. It's like the most exciting part of my week. So if anybody wants to write in and talk about the episodes, you can email us at shit90spod@gmail.com.
Yes. Or if you have short answers, you could send them to shit90spod, Twitter and Instagram. Shall we get to the fashion hour?
Fashion hour. Yep, absolutely. Let's go. Our first award is the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. My first nomination is Joey. Joey's hair is going out, but Joey has like a middle part going on. She has a gray sweatshirt and some like khaki green pants. But the thing that was very 90s was that she was wearing like this t-shirt that says All Stars on it. And that was such a 90s thing to wear a t-shirt that said All Stars on it, right?
No, I definitely had a shirt like this. I don't know why everybody thought it was cool to wear a shirt that said All Stars, but like we definitely had shirts that were like very like cutesy, like number one or, you know, All Stars, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, like always had wording on the front for sure. Yeah, this is like it's a standard, pretty standard outfit. Like, but I agree that the shirt itself is very 90s.
Yeah. Next up, we have Andy, and Andy is, this is also in the cafeteria. She has a simple headband, like a thin black headband, a white t-shirt, underneath a green and black striped vest and some, I think they're like green or some sort of gray denim slacks, something or other. What do you think of Andy's like outfit?
So she literally looks like Doug Funny. Like this is Doug Funny's outfit. The only thing she doesn't have is the khaki pants that he wears. They're more like an olive, like kind of like an olive denim or an olive slack that match the vest. I mean, I personally wouldn't be caught dead in this outfit, but it did remind me of Doug Funny, which is very 90s.
That's so hilarious. So,
and the headband, the useless headband that she has on is also very 90s. Yeah. Like wearing a headband that doesn't actually do anything. It just sits there.
It's so thin and you know it hurts the temples.
Yeah, I can feel the, I can feel the pain. I have a fat head and headbands always hurt me.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. Our last nomination is Pacey, and Pacey is wearing like a typical button down shirt with some sort of like ugly pattern on it, and some pants. I did actually get a complaint on the Instagram that you did not choose Pacey's Hawaiian shirt as a fashion hour option last week.
I think because it was ugly.
What do you have to say to that?
He has ugly outfits. For what? They wanted me to use it for the Rachel Green Award or for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness?
Yeah. How come Pacey's shirt didn't make it? It's awesome. Which I replied, Jessica has a personal vendetta about against Hawaiian shirts.
I fucking hate Hawaiian shirts. I think they're ugly.
And then they said, ha ha ha, that's a pity. I particularly like this one Pacey's wearing in this episode, especially because it's the same one. Oh, here's a spoiler, but I don't understand what this means. Especially because it's the same one Professor Heston wears on his first meeting with Joey on season 6, episode 1.
Goodness gracious, that's a good memory. They have a good memory. I don't know. I don't particularly enjoy Hawaiian shirts. I think that Pacey's wardrobe in general is pretty meh. He has some interesting patterns on his shirt. I actually don't mind this one. To me, this shirt is a very good like beach day shirt because it's like light blue and dark blue patterned. It kind of reminds me of like fish and like the underwater life. And it's short sleeves. It's a button down. Like you could see someone wearing this to like, I don't know, an aquarium or something. It's fine. This outfit is fine. It's not my favorite. I mean, we all know who I'm giving the award to. Doug Funny herself, Andy McPhee.
that's too great. Hilarious.
I have to.
Yeah. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. We have our first nominee, Mitch. I mean, Mitch is probably the easiest person to assign awards to because of his arms.
I was going to say, somebody better get in the Instagram DMs about us picking Mitch just because of his zaddy arms, because of the nice arms. That's all we want to look at.
Yeah. He's wearing like a V-neck, like greenish gray shirt, some jeans and some like, I don't know, clunky
shoes. He's wearing like
shoes.
They're like work boots.
I guess it's ideally it's just like from the waist up.
Here's the thing with Mitch is the reason he doesn't have a job is because he spends all his time working out. It's always arm day. Because he has like, I forget what it's called, but when you have those muscles that like come off of your neck to your shoulders, you know what I mean? Anyway, yeah, no, he looks great. I mean, I don't particularly like the light wash denim, but like you gotta give it to him. No dad bod here. It is always arm day in the Leary household.
Like, I asked somebody to do some research for me because I'm like, why is Dawson's dad so stacked? Like, why? Like, what is he doing? Because
he spends all his time working out instead of actually starting a restaurant.
I know, but like, I mean, the actor.
Oh,
and I was like, was like the Flash, or like, was he in like something that like he would need to be like really, really buff for? Mm-hmm. No, he just wants to be buff as fuck.
He just wants to be fit. What more do you need to know?
Oh no. Next up, we have Joey. Her outfit on her date with Dawson, she is wearing just like a simple like white cover up light sweater. You can see it's very like a spring like sweater that you would just use like, you know,
like a cardigan
on a nice
type of thing.
Summer day. Yeah, it's thin though. Mm-hmm. It's thin. She's wearing a like tank top that is like maroon. It has some sort of
ribbing or something. I don't know.
Oh, ribbing.
It looks like one of those
plaid-ish.
Shirts.
I don't know.
It looks like one of those shirts that like expands when you put it on. Like it's super stretchy.
Oh, maybe. And then just some like medium to dark wash denim. But it's like a nice little date outfit. I can see somebody wearing this today, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think that this is like, especially because the pants aren't quite, they're not like super tight like a skinny jean, but they're also not very baggy. So they do kind of lend themselves to being a little bit more timeless, especially like a white sweater like that is pretty timeless. The shirt is probably the least timeless aspect, but I really love the way red looks on Katie Holmes. Yeah. I love anytime she wears red, I'm usually on board. And I agree with this one. I think it's a nice casual outfit. It doesn't look like she's wearing Dawson's hand-me-downs.
She rarely wears like nice clothes like
this. She doesn't usually wear feminine outfits too often, which again, I don't care. But I particularly like this because I think it's a nice mix between like, she's still casual enough, but it does look like she dressed in something different for like a date.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Last up, we have Dawson Leary, and he is kind of wearing his typical ensemble. He is wearing a white t-shirt, some like light khakis, and his favorite shark tooth necklace, and just like a button-down shirt with like a small plaid detailing. But it works for him. Why change it if it works, right?
Yeah, don't mess with something that's been working for you this whole time. It's fine. It's a typical Dawson outfit. I don't mind the button-down shirt. I think that's nice. I really don't like khakis. Something about khakis just is ugly.
Well,
to me.
I mean, that's all he wears.
I know. Poor Dawson. He needs to change things up. Yeah, so this week I think I'm gonna give it to Joey. I really like this outfit. I think that I could totally wear this outfit today and no one would bat an eyelash. That is usually my barometer for Paul Rudd's Certificate Timelessness. If I walk out in this outfit, are people gonna stare at me? No, probably not. So Joey gets the point. So the ladies are kicking ass this week.
Oh yeah.
Andy and Joey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right, that sums up Fashion Hour. Let's see. So next episode is called The Election.
Oh no. Andy is trying to become class president.
That tracks.
That tracks. Yep.
Is she gonna win?
How can you not root for Andy?
There you go.
Yeah, she's gonna win. She's gonna win.
So that's what we have coming up next week. Boy Meets World, we are wrapping up season two. We have our season two recap recording. By the time this comes out, we'll have recorded it. Super excited for that. On to season three. We finished out all of our bonus May content. It was a wild ride, people. If you were interested in watching the Friends reunion, we did cover that, as that was a 90s show, very popular 90s show. So we did cover that as well as all of our May Ball content. And then, of course, if you still haven't listened, go give a listen to the Dungeons and Dragons Dawson's Creek crossover podcast, where we sorted all of the characters into their respective races and classes from Dungeons and Dragons.
It was a fun month.
It was a very fun month. Excited for what we have to come in June. We'll still put out a little bit of a teaser and just say that some childhood favorites are going to be coming to play. We have some really amazing guests lined up. So get pumped for that. Do we have any? I don't think we have anything else going on, right? I'm still on community building.
No, that's
it. Check that out. Yeah, this is fun. I'm excited for next week of Dawson's Creek. Hopefully we get more Andy content. I'm always there for that. And we need Joey to get her shit together. Joey, season two isn't looking so good on you, honey. Dawson's outperforming you right now, and we can't have that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But looking forward to it, too. Probably going to watch it sooner than later,
yes, the episode. Yeah, definitely have to watch that soon. And maybe, so we're at episode 8, so maybe at the halfway mark, we'll also get a new ranking from you on how you're feeling about the characters. Because I think we should check in like halfway through the season and see where you're right.
Perfect. Sounds great to me.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you'd like to leave us a review, rate, subscribe, we really appreciate that. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye, everybody. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught
me. Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.